open it up to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. We'll try to finish up chapter number 12 this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. All right, we're going to start reading in verse number 12, 1 Corinthians 12:12, and read down through the end of the chapter. All right, so if you follow along as I read, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, but yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon them we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, government, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Of course not. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. All right, let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that you'd help us tonight, God, as we come to thy throne of grace, of mercy and grace. Father, we pray that the Spirit of God would please help us and be our teacher and help us to get something from us. Pray to be built up a little bit more in the faith tonight. And may you help me, please. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter number 12, verse 1 to 11, verse 1 through 11, which we've already been over, it talks about the gifts that are given to the church, which were temporary and which are plainly not in effect now. They are not in use today, at least not in the proper way. Those gifts were supernatural, like tongues, healings, miracles, and things like that. You can read about them there in verse 1 to 11. Supernatural gifts, but they were just temporary. Beginning in verse number 12, Paul talks about the church or the body of Christ and compares it and its members to the human body. That's what he's going to do for us there. So verse number 12 through verse number 27, it talks about the human body and how it's used as an example of the body of Christ. And he calls it the church, the body of Christ. So if you look there in verse number 12, we'll start there in verse number 12. Let's read verse number 11, and then we'll go to verse number 12. He says in verse 11, but all these worketh that one in the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will, speaking about those gifts back there. Then verse number 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So there he's talking about the human body, for as the body is one. So your body is one and all the members of it are one body. The body and all the members. I mean, you wouldn't have just a body, you know, just a body without any members on it. So you got members on your body and they're all used. You know, you got eyes, nose, ears, arms, hands, legs, feet, all that kind of stuff. That's your members of your body. And those members and the body make up the whole, you see. So for as the body is one, and you'll notice in that verse right there, the body is one. It's mentioned three times. For as the body is one and hath many members. That's amazing that God put all the members, you know. To me, anybody to believe in evolution is, you know, is insanity. If you look at anything that God has made, like the human body, even something out here in nature like a tree, weeds, just anything, they're all, you know, you may stand back and look at them from a distance, and they may look simple. But if you go to digging into them, they're all very complicated things, like the human body here. I mean, there's probably 7.5 billion people upon the earth right now, and they're all of them similar, but they're all different. They're all similar, but they're all different. And there's not a one of them that's transitioning into something else. Not a one of them. There's no evolution going on. Why would anybody believe in it then? They can't see it. I mean, isn't that what science is supposed to be about? Something you can prove in a laboratory? That's science. That's the definition of science, I think. They can't prove it. They can't produce any life. Even if you give scientists that believe in evolution all the materials that they need, they still can't produce any life. They don't know where life came from because they don't believe the Bible. But I mean, you can go to Walmart and buy a Bible, and you can find those kind of things out. You know, God made it simple. But these things, like the human body, they're complicated. I mean, just take one part of the human body, like your hand or your foot or your little toe. You know, you may think something is not important, but if you lose one thing, man, you got a problem. You know, you try to walk. Take you a long time to learn how to walk without your little toe. And that little toe, you know, it's hidden way down in the bottom over on the side in the dark, you know. But if you lose that thing or you get it smashed or something, you will know that it's there. Otherwise, you don't know it, see. The body here, as the body is one, the body, the whole thing, it's one, see. And what he's going to do at the end of that verse, he's going to say, so also is Christ, his body. His spiritual body. Verse number 12, for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, see, all those members together being many are one body. They all work together. They all make up the whole body. And they're all important is what we're going to learn down here. They're all important, all right? So he's comparing the body, your human body, to the body of Christ, Jesus Christ has a body, a spiritual body. We can't see it. We can't see it. Jesus Christ is not here in the flesh today. He's not walking around. But he has a spiritual body, and we are all added to that body, as this verse is going to tell us in verse number 13. Notice verse number 13. For by one Spirit. Now, what Spirit is that? By one Spirit. It's got a capital S on it. By one Spirit. That's the Spirit of God. For by one Spirit, he's going to tell us that the Spirit of God does something. By one Spirit. For by one, when I was in Bible college, it was a big deal. It was a big deal as to whether or not this meant that the body of Christ was only the local church or was it a spiritual body, you see. It was a big deal there. And I was taught that there was no spiritual body, that there's no invisible body, you know, the body of Christ, that you cannot see. There was only the local church. I remember, I shouldn't say this because I'm embarrassed that I did it, but I took and I marked out that capital S there and I put a small S by it because I was taught that spirit there is just a spirit of, I guess, a spirit of unity or something like that. And the baptism that it's going to tell us about here was water baptism. because they believed only in water baptism. You see, that's what I was taught. So I've been looking at this thing. I've been looking at this verse for years, many, many years. I've looked at it from every angle that you can. I've read it hundreds of times and looked at it. What does this mean? Because I wanted to get it right, you see. But that's what I was taught. So he says, therefore, by one Spirit. The Spirit of God does something. That is, when a person gets saved. For by one Spirit are we. That's Paul speaking there. He says, for by one Spirit are we, Paul, and all the people of the saved people of this church at Corinth. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. All right, now that baptism there, I've told you before, I gave you a list not too long ago of seven baptisms that are found in the Bible. There is a spiritual baptism, and that's what that's talking about right there. The word baptism means to immerse. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That's the body of Christ, the body of Christ. You are made a part of the body of Christ, whether or not you have been baptized in water or not, you see. Like this young man back here, Shoni, he got baptized in water Sunday night. But that did not put him into Christ, because Christ, the body of Christ, is spiritual and that water is physical. You can't get into the body of Christ. You can't be in Christ by going through the city water system. It's a spiritual operation taken care of by the Spirit of God. So whenever Shoni, whenever he got saved, that's whenever he was baptized or he was immersed or he became a part of the body of Christ. And then he got on the outside where it could be seen, baptized in water out here. You know what he got into back here? He got into the water. That's all. He got dunked in the water. Picture of the death and burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse number 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, the body of Christ. We're made a part of the body of Christ. Turn your Bibles, if you don't know it, but over to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 30. Ephesians 5 and verse number 30, you should have this verse memorized. It says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 30, for we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. Let me say this again. Is Jesus Christ walking around down here? Can we see Him? No. No, it's a spiritual thing. You're added, become a part of the body of Christ, all right? Now that tells us a great truth right there. That great truth is this: eternal security. You cannot get out of the body of Christ. You cannot be severed. You cannot be cut loose. You cannot get out, get loose, go anywhere out of the body of Christ. You are totally, absolutely secure forever, because you're a part of the body. His body is not going to be mangled. Nobody's going to be cut loose from it. One of those verses over there that people use to teach that you can lose your salvation is Galatians 5:4. And in some of these new Bibles, they have changed the verse there where it says, you are fallen from grace. They have changed it to read, you are severed from Christ. So I'm not sure which one of them is. I don't know if it's the NIV or some one of them. But anyway, that's not what it says. You're fallen from grace. You cannot be severed from Christ. You can't lose it. You can't get out of it. Anyway, that teaches eternal security, that you are totally and absolutely secure. The Spirit of God puts you into Christ. I mean, it's exactly what it says. I used to read those verses before I knew what this meant. I would read across it where it said, you're in Christ. I didn't know what does that mean. I know some preachers, and they will tell you, well, it means in the family, in the family. No, it means exactly what it says. It means in Christ. You are in Him, and He is in you. Turn your Bibles over to John chapter 14 and verse number 20. John 14 and verse number 20. Here's what Jesus said. John 14, 20, at that day. See, now he's talking about in the future when this comes about, when this happens. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father. See, well, now that's a spiritual thing there. That's a literal thing, but it's spiritual too. I am in my Father and ye in me. See, so I'm in the Father and you're in me and I'm in you. I in you. See, now tell me something. How much more secure can you possibly get if Jesus Christ is in the Father and we're in Christ and he's in us? You can't get any more secure than that, you see. No, to be in Christ means exactly what it says. It means you are a part of him. Turn in your Bibles, please. I'm not following my notes here, but let's see. Let's start in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 3. Romans chapter 6. And verse number 3. Be back to the left just a little bit there. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 3. Romans 6, 3 says, Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Now there's a lot of folks, and they'll get mixed up if they do this, but they will try to make this to be water baptism. It is not water baptism. That is spiritual baptism that puts you into Christ. You cannot get into Christ. See, that'd be Church of Christ doctrine. They believe that their church is the body of Christ, and you have to be baptized by one of their elders. And when you're baptized by one of their elders, you're baptized into Christ. That's their teaching right there, see. This is a spiritual thing where you are baptized by the Spirit of God into his spiritual body, right there. So he says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. You see, when you get saved, you are made part of Jesus Christ and you take part in his death and his burial and his resurrection. When God looks at you, he looks at you as though you have already died for your sins. You have been buried and you have been raised again to walk in newness of life, you see. That's how God sees you. Now, you have been that way. You have done that, but you didn't do it. You did it in the person of Jesus Christ. He did it for you, and you're in him. You're in him. That's a great thing to be in Christ. To be in Christ, because the Bible says that Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God. He stands up there. He stands before God and we are in him. He is our representative. He represents us there. So God doesn't see how bad I am, but he sees how good Jesus Christ is. He is my representative, you see. He's my representative. And when the devil throws things at us, when the devil, who is called the accuser of the brethren, when he comes and he accuses us, then he can't get anywhere with it because we have an advocate. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. See, and when the devil throws things at us, you know, the Bible says it's in Romans chapter 8, verse number 32, I believe it is, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Well, the devil will. He will try to charge you with things, but he will try to charge you with things, but Jesus stops the charge. See, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth, that verse says. And then he says in the next verse, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again from the dead. You see, the devil can go ahead and accuse you. He knows our sins. And he can try to accuse us to the Father, but God doesn't listen to him, you see. And he can't get to you unless God allows him to do so, you see. So Jesus Christ is our representative before the Father, you see. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You see, he is our high priest standing up there. And so, and by the way, he does it 24 hours a day.
Yes, sir.
24 hours a day. I mean, don't you feel bad? I feel bad. Every time I do something wrong, every time I sin, and I know I sinned and I shouldn't have done it. And here I am messing around down here, fooling around with sin, and there's my Savior, Jesus Christ, standing up there. Never sinned one time. And he's standing up there 24/7. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, taking care of me, you see.
Amen.
That verse there. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Verse number 16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. See, you know what? You don't get to go up and talk to God. You don't get to go to the throne room of God because you're good. You don't get to go to the throne room of God just because God loves you.
Right.
No, you have access to the Father. You have access to God upon the merits of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And your faith in Him. God allows you to come into His presence and talk with Him and ask Him for mercy because somebody else, that's Jesus, did something for you. Died on the cross and shed His blood for you, see. That's why you have access to the Father. You can go to Him anytime, just like a son can walk in to his daddy's office or somewhere and talk to him. Anytime, day or night, see. That's Romans chapter 6 and verse number 3. Notice, you're baptized into Christ Jesus. Turn over to the right from 1 Corinthians to Galatians chapter number 3. Galatians chapter number 3, and be verse number 20. Let's read 26 and 27. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 26, for you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You'd think that'd settle it right there, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you think anybody that thought you had to be baptized or anybody that thought you saved by good works or anybody that thought you had to be a member of their church, or anybody that thought you had to be sprinkled, baptized as an infant, they read that verse right there and they say, well, that settles it right there. You're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, you see. For as many of you as have been what? Baptized into Christ. See, there it is again. You're baptized into Christ. That is not water baptism because you can't get into Christ through the city water system. You can't do it because this right here is spiritual. That back there is not spiritual, you see. Been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. You know why? Because in Christ there is no difference. That tells you right there it's spiritual. Out here in the physical world, there is a difference between Jews, Greeks, men, women. There's a difference out here in the world, but not in Christ. Everybody's the same. We're all one in Christ Jesus. What does he go on to say? There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. Well, now see, a lot of people out here in the world, they think there's no difference between men and women, but we know different. Out here in the world, there is a difference, but not spiritually in Christ. See, so you're baptized into Christ, into His spiritual body. You are immersed into Christ. You become a part of Him, of His body. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. You see that? You're all one in Christ Jesus. Out here in the world, we're not that way. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. Well, now, stop just for a second there. If you be Christ, that is, if you're a Christian, then are ye Abraham's seed. Well, tell me something. Are you Abraham's seed? Well, you're not Abraham's physical seed. You're not a Jew. But you are his spiritual seed by faith. See? You see that? That tells you right there, all this is spiritual. It's all spiritual. This is the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it'd be physical. See? Amen. Back over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. All right? Let me see if I missed anything. I got one more verse to show you. Let's see. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians again, chapter number 4. Ephesians. Galatians, Ephesians, chapter number 4. And, all right. Ephesians, chapter number 4. And verse number 5. Verse number 4. Ephesians 4, 4. We'll read 4, 5, and 6. He said, there is one body. I wonder what that would be, one body. It's the body of Christ and one spirit. You see, all of these things are spiritual here. Now, we're going to get down to where it says one baptism, and some people will say, well, that's water. So they're going to have one physical thing within seven spiritual things. That doesn't make sense. That didn't make sense. You can see that right away. He's going to talk about a baptism here. And so what baptism in it? Somebody says, well, it's water baptism. No, it's not. There is one baptism. Verse number 4, there's one body. It's the body of Christ. One spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. There it is. What is that? Well, it's not water baptism because that's the only physical thing in there. Water would be. No, it's a spiritual baptism. There is one baptism that saves you, that puts you into the body of Christ. That's what he's talking about. One baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Back over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 13, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free. See, because in that body, everybody's the same. Everybody's the same. Now, another verse comes up in my mind. Turn your Bibles again to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 12. Let's read verse number 11 too. If you don't, you might want to underline this. Verse number 11, it's talking about in the past, in time past. Verse number 13, but now. See, so in time past, but now. You remember that as we're reading. Verse number 11. All right, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh. That means you was a lost Gentile. That you were a lost heathen. That's what he's talking about. Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's how it was in the past as a Gentile. But now notice in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. See? So now then you are in Christ Jesus and you are made nigh to God by the blood of Christ because you have been cleansed by the blood. For he is our peace, verse 14, who hath made both one, that would be Jew and Gentile, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man. So making peace. What is that one new man? He took a Jew and a Gentile. He put them together in the body of Christ and made one new man. And that one new man is a Christian. See, so you're not a Jew and you're not a Gentile. You're a Christian now. You're a new man, a new person, a new creature. Verse number, in himself of twain, one new man, so making peace. Verse number 16, and that he might reconcile both. that is Jew and Gentile, unto God in one body, the body of Christ, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Back over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. One baptism that puts us into Christ. One more, couple of more little things here, and we'll be finished with this verse. Some folks are such good Baptists that they believe that the local Baptist church is the body of Christ. Now, you know what? I want to be a good Baptist because I am a Baptist. But I don't believe that only Baptists are saved. I don't believe that. That's number one. Number two, I don't believe that any local Baptist church is the body of Christ. It's all those who are saved in any church. You see, in any church. I'm sorry, some churches are rotten. Some churches are way off from sound doctrine. There might be somebody, there might be some people saved in there. You see? The saved person in any church are part, they are members of the body of Christ. You see, you have two locations. Spiritually, you are located in Christ. Geographically, your location might be anywhere. Your body might be anywhere. But spiritually speaking, you're in Christ, you see. I'm going to show you that. Turn in your Bibles, please. I don't know if I'm going to get off of this verse or not. But Ephesians again. Galatians, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 1. Ephesians 1:1. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus. Okay, now notice the saints which are at Ephesus. That's their physical location, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. You see there? So they have a physical location, and then they have a spiritual location. Spiritually, they're in Christ. Physically, they're at Ephesus, you see. Turn your Bibles to the next book, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians chapter 1, and it's verse number 1 also. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 1. Paul and Timotheus, or Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. You see that? Two locations. They're at Philippi physically, but spiritually they're in Christ Jesus. One more. Philippians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 2. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 2. Verse number 2 says, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. See, spiritual location in Christ at Colossae, that's where their body is. All right, that's enough of that. Turn back over to your place there. See, the saved people in any church or in any town, they are part of the body of Christ. Listen carefully. When there was only one church in existence, like in Jerusalem, that would be the body of Christ. Then, that'd be the body of Christ. All of those people together, there was only one church there. That would be the body of Christ. When there's only one church at Corinth, then that was the body of Christ at Corinth. But it's not like that anymore. There are many churches. The people in them may or may not be saved. But it's like this. The saved people anywhere are members of the body of Christ. Their church may or may not be sound in the faith, but if they are saved, they are members of the body of Christ. Let me ask you something. Do you think there's saved people at, the First Baptist Church downtown? Think there's saved people over at Emmanuel Baptist Church or the Calvary Baptist Church down this way or this church down the street? Do you think there's some saved people there? Yes, they are. I'm sure they are. I would imagine they are. But do I think all of those churches and any a bunch more of them in town are sound in the faith? No, I don't. You see, no, I don't think that. But those that are saved are part of the body of Christ. I don't have time to tell you a story I was going to tell you, so let's forget about that. Look in your Bibles there to verse number 13 again. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. I'll just tell you one more thing, and then I'll quit. We have all been made to drink into one Spirit. You know what that is? That is a spiritual drinking. A spiritual drinking. Turn back just to the left a little bit to chapter 10 and verse number 4. Chapter 10 and verse number 4 says this. Without going over the whole thing, I think y'all probably know it. Verse number 4, and did all drink. See, that's talking about Israel in the wilderness, the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. It is a spiritual drinking. John chapter 7 and verse 39, I'll read it for you. You can look at it for yourself if you want to. Jesus, he's talking about on that last day, the day of the feast, where he stood up. John chapter 7 and verse number 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. In other words, the Spirit of God was not given in a permanent way until after the resurrection, you see. Say, spiritual drinking. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, Jesus said. See, that's opening up the Bible. That's reading. That's drinking it in, like the cross. Reading about the cross. Reading about the blood, reading about righteousness, reading about justification, reading about all of those things, drinking it in, what Jesus did for you on the cross, you see. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He said there, we have been all made to drink into one body. Amen. That's as far as we'll go tonight. Amen. Y'all can